Brothers and sisters, another year passes and we have before us again the holy tomb of our Lord. I'm struck, and I hope you are too, in all of these gospels and all of the things that have been said in the hymns in the past couple days, how careful the evangelists are and the church in turn is to mention small details, not just the large picture. Christ was arrested and crucified and rose again, but the small details. Brothers and sisters, if the resurrection is to be in our hearts, we must indeed have attention such that we understand and fulfill these small details. Nothing is small when it comes to obeying the commandments. What God truly loves is when someone goes out of their way to show love for him, regardless of what their state in life is, such as the woman who was a sinner, a euphemism for a prostitute, who went and washed his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head, anointed his head with oil. How many of us love the Lord such that we would do such a thing? How many of us love the Lord so much that we would, even if we were afraid? Do you think Joseph and Nicodemus were not afraid when they went to Pilate? Pilate had been rousted from bed very early in the morning on Thursday, had to deal with the contentious Jews, had made a decision that didn't sit well with his conscience, but he was too weak and he made it anyway. Do you think that Joseph and Nicodemus didn't feel fear when they went to Pilate? And yet they fulfilled this labor of love, not even understanding probably why they were really doing it. We have other examples. The women that had been with Jesus who were by the tomb, watching, seeing what happened, recording, and even then deciding that when it was time, when the canonical time had passed of the Passover, that they could again do work, they were going to anoint his body as an act of love. They didn't even understand that such an anointing was not necessary because he would not be there. They've been told that many times. He'd spoken of his resurrection to them, but they didn't understand. But even if they didn't understand, their love prompted them to do something out of the ordinary. I tell you, much of the Christian life, too much of it for us, is ordinary. It's ordinary. We come to the divine liturgy and the divine body and blood of Christ are present. One of the opting elders says, we have the divine Holy Eucharist. We need no other miracle. Such a miracle, and are we changed? Are we changed that day? Do we really take Christ into our heart and become deified? Or is it just another day, and then we go and go on with the rest of our cares in the world? The thing that really makes us, as it says in the scriptures, more than conquerors, the things that makes us like that, to mount up like eagles, is this attention to detail. And the attention to detail is listening to the Holy Spirit. So much of the tale of Christ's arrest and his trial, and his crucifixion, and his burial is one where you see frail human beings that didn't get the whole story right, after all. They truly didn't understand that he was going to be resurrected. They had forgotten that in their fear. So they weren't perfect at all. But frail human beings giving everything they had in their heart. Everything. Completely correct or not is immaterial in terms of this, what I'm speaking of right now. Now, it's important as Orthodox Christians to believe correctly and rightly. But we have the whole story now. They didn't have it then. Or they didn't have the ability to assimilate it then. Even though they didn't understand everything, they showed love to God by doing what they could Joseph and Nicodemus taking the body, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, and Salome looking on, seeing where Jesus was buried, making their plans, buying with their hard-earned money, probably several months' wages worth of oils to anoint him when the first moment they could, which was, of course, Sunday morning at the rising of the sun. Brothers and sisters, if your life is ordinary, it's not because of our Lord, who right now, in our liturgical time, rests in the tomb, but we know indeed that he is Lord of all at all moments. It's not because the Lord has not shown us miracles. It's not because the Lord has not given you all means of being enlightened. It's because you live in an ordinary way. The Lord calls us to live outside of being ordinary. Now, that doesn't mean, look at these people that are examples. Every single one of them. I can't find one that didn't make a mistake. Peter made the mistake where he denied the Lord 3 times, but look at how he made up for his denial with such bitter repentance and such love for the Lord and such courage. Judas also denied the Lord, but he didn't have the courage. Instead, he hung himself and he didn't see the resurrection. He was dead before the resurrection occurred. We have Joseph and Nicodemus going to bury a body that was going to be resurrected. We have the myrrh-bearing women getting ready, planning to anoint the Lord. An unnecessary act, but one for which they were rewarded, because we sing of them so often. Many other examples. All of the disciples fled, every single one of them. And the one writing that was John. So some people think John didn't flee. Yes, he did, but he followed afar off, and then he went into the courtyard. He was just as scared as anyone else. He was actually just a child. He was probably 19 years old. But they loved the Lord according to every ounce of their being. Now the Lord is in the tomb now in our liturgical time. And we know that we will celebrate in a scant 3 days by the count of the Jewish reckoning, certainly not by 3 calendar 24-hour periods. We will celebrate the resurrection. But does the resurrection truly resurrect your heart, brothers and sisters? Does the resurrection truly shatter all preconceptions in your body and in your soul? All unsureness, all faint-heartedness, all sadness? If the resurrection doesn't do that, then you've missed something. You've missed the resurrection. Now, if it doesn't, then you must beg the Lord to teach you what you must know. You know, many, many people saw the resurrection, heard of the resurrection. Actually, of course, no one saw the resurrection, right? The tomb was empty. And their hearts were hardened by it, or they didn't change. The majority of people that heard about it, they still stayed in the synagogue, and they didn't want to persecute Christians, but they still had their livelihoods and their ways of living and their comfort zone, and that's where they were at. And a large amount of them never knew that they missed anything. As an Orthodox Christian and a priest, I tell you that I many times feel that so many of us miss what the Lord wants to teach us and don't even know it. That's the tragedy. We don't even see that we've missed anything, because we are living a life that is in many ways secular, if we want to really, really admit it. Brothers and sisters, the Lord wants to completely fill you. He went to great lengths to show an example of how to live and to be mute as a sheep is before a lamb before its shearer, to not judge, to endure crucifixion, to endure the unbelief of people around him, and the jeering, and the mockery, and all the rest. He went to great pains to procure your redemption. This redemption you must feel in everything you do, in everything you think, in everything you say. Otherwise, the power of the resurrection is not being manifested in you. Now, we have many great and beautiful ceremonies attached to Pascha. But let us understand that the greatest action that will occur in Pascha, during Pascha, is where the Lord fills our hearts. That is the greatest miracle. Enlightens us. Now, if we were more zealous, our enlightening would be as bright as the sun, as bright as the Lord was on the Mount of Olives. But we are not like that. So we instead must settle for now for a small amount of enlightenment. But I tell you, brothers and sisters, every time you come to church, whether it be a Tuesday afternoon or whether it be Pascha Vigil, you should always be begging the Lord to enlighten you in some way, in some fashion. Watch the details. The Lord speaks through very small things. He tells us through our daily occurrences where we need to change. That person who talks too much in the office, or some difficulty that you're having at work, or whatever else. These mundane occurrences, the Lord is trying to teach you something. Are you going to listen? If you listen, then the resurrection will shine forth within you and will permeate your being and will spring from your breast like a waterfall, and you will be truly happy. As you look at the Lord in the tomb right now, brothers and sisters, realize that the Lord wants you to be resurrected too in every single way. The tomb is a dark place. Our hearts are dark also. Let us transport our minds such that we would understand that our heart is a tomb, and we must beg the Lord to come into it and to break forth from it and to make it all light and all holy. This is only possible if we apply ourselves zealously to all manner of Christian living, not just occasionally, but all the time. And truly positive that the Lord expects us to be careful about the most small things, and He is most happy when He sees us acting with care. This is what those who loved Him did, and they've been immortalized in our hymns and in the gospel. Brothers and sisters, allow the Lord to fill you. Then you will truly experience Pascha. Not just the excitement of it, but being in the heart. Now, I want to mention two other things. I mention them always, because they are so critical to me. When Pascha comes, we have wonderful foods to eat, things to drink, and with much joy. And we should partake of these things, but with care, with moderation, so as not to squelch the spiritual joy that should be in our hearts. That spiritual joy is very, very small compared to our appetite for, shall we say, cheesecake or hamburgers. Well, the Lord understands this. We're weak people. He understands. It's just a small flame that warms us because we don't have much faith. We must do everything we can to protect this flame, brothers and sisters, to feel as much warmth as possible from it, because it will dissipate quickly, because we can't keep it in long enough. It's our own fault. That's why the church closes the royal doors on Is it Holy Bright Friday? Bright Friday, they're closed. Is it Bright Saturday in the morning? Okay. Bright Saturday in the morning. The reason why we close the royal doors after they've been open the whole time is it's symbolic that we cannot take all the grace that the Lord wants to give us. We can't. We give it up too easily. We're too weak. But let's keep as much as we can. So, eat moderately, carefully, not to gluttonize, not to get, you know, eat so many things that we become sick, or we become weighed down, or we forget to say our prayer. Very important. Now, I tell you, I'm speaking autobiographically here. I've learned the hard way to be careful so as to keep as much joy in my heart as possible and not to fall into despondency later. Then we don't want to go back to the tomb, do we? We move the tomb away on a vigil, right? The tomb is no longer the essence of our, the center of our worship because the Lord is resurrected. We should be the same way. We don't want to go back to the tomb, go back to despondency, go back to lethargy from eating too much. So be careful about that. I'm not telling anyone to not eat the good foods. I'll eat them too. But eat carefully. Now, in line with that also, so as to stave off despondency and to take care about keeping as much of the flame in your heart, the warmth, burning as long as possible from Paschal. Say the Paschal hours, in the morning and in the evening, and more if you wish. And you could say the Paschal canon too, but at least say the Paschal hours, okay? Say the Paschal hours. I have them in Slavonic and I have them in English, and a little card that I want to have. And they're also in the prayer book, but this is a little more convenient and you can find it easier. And make sure to say these Paschal hours. If you're a family, say them as a family. Try to sing them if possible. Don't worry, nobody's listening. And say them in the evening, because that will help stave off despondency and losing this warmth that God wants to give us. It would also be wise to read the resurrectional gospels. And I believe I have a listing of them. I'll try to print off a listing of them and give them to you as well. Read one a day or something. There are 11 of them. And that would be an excellent thing to do every day as well. Just try to keep the resurrection in your heart. May God bless you and help you. We'll do give the dismissal, and then I want to make sure everyone who does not have a Paschal hours, Tim and Stefan, go get them. And anyone who's not already picked up one, because I'm giving them out as often as I can, take one, put them in your car so they're not lost. We're going to hand them out also to people, especially people that we don't know that are visitors tomorrow night especially. It's very important that everyone understand that Pascha is not just a celebration of eating meats, but it's also prayer. May God help you.